that God is called whosoever. Amen? I'm glad that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and when he said, whosoever shall open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me, as undeserving as I am and you are of God's grace and God's favor and God's salvation, God has looked upon this world, this old, wretched, wrecked world, and he's done something about it. Amen. He's offered us the Lord Jesus Christ, and the greatest thing in the world that you can know is that truth. Amen. To know the Savior, to know his way. And this morning, sometimes I start series, and I'm thinking I'm only going to do 4 or 5 messages, but I just seem to find more messages. Amen. And I'm going to continue in the series about a better understanding. And I've entitled the message this morning, God's Way, Understanding God's Way, if you will. And when we think about the way, when we think about God's way and our ways, the only thing that I can really say is that our ways and God's ways are very different. Amen? Certainly, God has a different way of doing things, seeing things. And in many cases, they are contrary. Not only are they different, but they're contrary to what we may think and what we may perceive as being the right way. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures in Proverbs, but I want you to also turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. And there, when we think about doing things God's way as opposed to man's ways, I think there's a good example here in Luke chapter 5 about doing things man's way rather than God's way. And we've got to understand. The way. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24, the Bible says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And I want you to stop and I want you to think about this verse for a moment, because, you know, there's certainly a lot here that we need to think about. The first part of the verse tells us that man's goings are of the Lord. And then the second part of the verse, the Bible says there, how can a man then, what's the then? The then is because of the first part of the verse, man's goings are of the Lord. The second part of the verse says, how can a man then understand his own way? In other words, I'll break this down for you. Man's ways, or let's just say the steps of a good man or a Christian, are ordered by the Lord. In other words, God has a way or a direction or a purpose in life for each and every one of us. And then the wise man here says, how then can a man know his way? How can you know your way? How can you know the way that God wants? You know, as I mentioned, God's ways are different than man's ways. And when we think about what God has done in the past and what God is going to continue to do in the future, one thing that we should probably never do is try to figure out what God is going to do in the future, because it's so different than what we might perceive. The story that I want us to look at this morning in Luke chapter 5 is a story about Peter. It's a story about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a story that I kind of like, because it's about fishing. Peter was instructed of the Lord to do some things that didn't seem right, that didn't register in his mind as being logical, being proper, being expedient. And many times in our lives, when we think about knowing the way or understanding the way, there are many things in our lives that maybe God is asking us to do, or maybe God has asked us to do, that don't seem expedient, that don't seem logical, that don't seem wise. But God's ways are the best ways. And we've got to ask ourselves this morning, when we look at the first part of this verse, man's goings are of the Lord. Is our way, and I mean your way, as an individual, is your way today, is it ordered by the Lord? Is it of the Lord, or is the way that you are going, is it of man? Is it your own way? Is it your own ideas and your own invention? You know, sometimes, without fail, our ways seem more logical. Our ways seem better. Our ideas seem to be better than God's ideas. And when I think about this subject that we're dealing with this morning, one of the greatest stories in the Bible that I think about all the time is Joshua. Now, here was a great general, a man that was so faithful to Moses and so faithful to God's cause. And finally, the day came when he was in charge and he had to lead and pastor the entire nation of Israel, and he was bringing them into the promised land, and they were to destroy this city called Jericho. They were to take it. And I can imagine maybe this very inexperienced general devising in his mind some plans of attack and some ideas that he may have had about how they were going to destroy this city. Maybe he was thinking about borrowing some military equipment from one of the surrounding nations. They didn't have much. Borrowing one of their generals, maybe a strategist, to come in and to explain to them what the best way to take this city would be and how they were going to penetrate the walls. And I'm sure he had all of these ideas in his mind, but one day God says to him, Joshua, listen, I've got some instructions for you. I've got a way that I want you to follow. And Joshua, okay, I'm all ears, Lord. What do you have for me? Well, I want you to walk around the city once a day for 7 days, and then on the final day, I want you to walk around it a whole bunch of times, and then when you're done, I want the priests all to blow their horns, and then you're going to take the city. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody told me to do that, I would think there was something wrong. You know, God's ways, sometimes, as I mentioned, they're not always, maybe sometimes logical. But God's ways are the best ways. And God had that little demonstration for us to show the power of God in destroying those walls when they came tumbling down. And you know, they didn't even lift up a sword. And they never got battering rams to knock the gates down. They never used military strategy. They simply used the power of God to defeat that city and to take that city. Man's goings are of the Lord, but how can a man understand when God's ways are in many cases so different? Let's pray before we get into the message. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the God that we serve and the many, many examples we find in the Bible where things are just done differently than we would ever conceive, even Gideon coming to mind now and others, Lord. And there's so many examples of people who were called to do things that didn't seem right. And Lord, sometimes your ways maybe aren't the way that we would do things, but they're the right way. And each and every one of us this morning, we need to understand, God, what you have for us. That we, as well as the wise man, would be able to say that the Lord is the one that orchestrates man's goings. And Father, help us. And would you use the word of God today as it's intended to be used? We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Turn in your Bibles back in Proverbs there to chapter 14 and verse 8. I want to read this verse and then we'll go to Luke chapter 5. So Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. The Bible says there, the wisdom of the prudent, and again, that's the idea of wisdom in action. Prudence is wisdom in action. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. In other words, the wise person, the wisdom, the fulfillment of that wisdom of a wise man is to know his way, to know which way he is going. But the Bible says, but the folly of fools is deceit. Peter. Oh, blessed Peter. How often did he fall under in this second category, the folly of fools is deceit. So often Peter was the first one to speak, but in most cases he was the first one to trip and to fall as well. Let's read verses 1 to 11 there. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down. And he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And he beckoned unto their partners, which were in other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And when he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, I enjoy this particular story in the Bible because, as I said, I enjoy fishing. Amen? Now, my kind of fishing, though, isn't like everyone else's kind of fishing. There was a guy, a Christian man who was a friend of mine, and he was going fishing all the time. He had just taken it up as a bit of a hobby, and he was going fishing all the time, and he was coming into work and telling me about his fishing excursions. And I said, well, listen, Jim, I said, if you like fishing, I said, let's get together and we'll go do some fishing. I know some great little trout streams. And he said, you know what? It sounds like a great idea. So I said, well, this is where we're going to meet. And we met there. And I walked out. I got out of my car. I stepped out of my car. And, you know, I had very, very thick pants on. and boots, good rubber boots up to my knees. And, you know, I had long sleeve shirts on, and I was all ready to go out into the woods and start fishing. And he got out of the car, and he had shorts on and flip-flops. And I'm going, wow, man, there's just something wrong here. I don't think we're going to have a good time today. And I said, Jim, I should have prepared you for this type of fishing. And so he said, well, don't worry about it. I'm okay. We'll go do this fishing. So we got out of the cars. We got our stuff. And we walked down the bank, or how do you call it, the culvert, you know, the side of the road. And we got down to the culvert. And then we started working our way back into the woods. And as we're working our way back there, I mean, we're literally fighting through like the thickest, darkest jungles of Africa. I mean, we're breaking through branches. And then when you're trying to fish, you're standing, you know, on the bank and you can't really cast because the branches are all hanging into the water, and you got to be quiet and you got to be specific about where you're fishing. And I said, Jim, don't worry about it. I said, every time I fish this stream, I get some nice brown trout. And he says, well, you know, it'll be worth it getting some brown trout. And we fished in there all day, and the only thing that was biting was the mosquitoes. And he said, Mike, he said, I don't mean to offend you, but I'm not coming again. He says, my idea of fishing is sitting in a boat with a bucket of chicken and a cooler full of Pepsi. He said, that, you know, how do you fish? You're too busy eating and drinking. But he says, you just put your pole down. He said, that's my idea of fishing. Amen. Yeah, I said, well, you know what? I don't mind fishing like that once in a while, but if I eat a bucket of chicken every time I fish, we don't want to go there. Amen. That's just out of the question. But you know what? When we think about fishing, there are many different ways of fishing. For me, the idea of traipsing through the woods and breaking branches and just about breaking my net to catch a little brown trout, to me, it's worth it. Amen. Amen? Bucket of chicken, cooler of Pepsi. Amen? Just call me crazy. You know, we ended up, this ended up, by the way, a big debate amongst the Christians at work about what real biblical fishing is. Because he said, you know what? He said they were in a boat, and they were casting nets, and you know, that's the way they were doing it. That was biblical fishing. I said, yeah, but they didn't have a bucket of chicken, and they didn't have a cooler load of Pepsi. Amen? And he said, well, that's besides the point. That's like a little fringe benefit. He said, they were in boats, and I said, yeah, but wait a minute. I said, didn't the Lord command Peter to go cast the line? Remember he caught that fish that had a coin in its mouth? I said, ha. He said, yeah, but it wasn't in the woods. I said, well, we're going to have a big, big, big split here about what right fishing is. Amen? There's different ways to fish. Peter was a fisherman. And Peter, you know, he knew a little bit about fishing. The Bible says here that Jesus was entered. He came into Capernaum and some individuals had met him. I got to get back to where we originally were. I'm reading out of the wrong text here. The Bible says there that Jesus Christ was in the area of Gennesaret. I'll get that straight. And he saw a couple of ships standing there or floating in the water, and he went over to the boats, and there was a couple of fishermen that were out of the boats, and the Bible says that they were washing their nets. Now, fishermen, after they fished, would normally be doing what? Sleeping. Yeah, it depends on how early you got up in the morning. What would a fisherman normally be doing when they get home? Cleaning fish. You're going, well, I've never seen my husband do that. Well, that's probably because he never caught anything. Amen. You clean your fish, but Peter and he, they weren't cleaning fish. They were washing their nets. You know, you're bored. You know, you got nothing to do when you're washing your nets. Because where are your nets coming out of? They're coming out of the water. You know, it was pretty bad times when you're washing your nets. Well, they would stink like fish, I guess. So you got to clean them once in a while. So, anyways, they're sitting there washing their nets, and the Lord Jesus Christ goes up to them and he says, listen, I want you to push your boat out a little bit. I want you to just launch out a little bit. In verse 3 there. You know, Peter was willing, and we don't know how or if they had ever seen each other before, but Peter was willing to allow Christ to use his boat to teach the people. He said, okay, we'll do this. And so they pushed out a little bit, just into the shallow water. You know, when Jesus Christ goes fishing, today we have technology that is absolutely unbelievable. When I first started fishing, like, we had those, you know, really cheap fiberglass poles with those funny, you know, reels. You know what I'm talking about? Inkwells, old reels, and all that. And we didn't have, you know, we didn't have GPSs to tell you where you were. And we didn't have maps of the lake to tell you where everything was in the lake. And we didn't have these fish finders. And then when fish finders came out, when they first came out, they were big and bulky. And they would give you a little blip, you know, on the radar there to try to show you that that might be a fish down there. They've got these fish finders out now today. They're called side imaging and down imaging. And they are so detailed. I put one on my boat last year, and I'm sitting there. You know you're bored on your boat when you're sitting there watching your fish finder while you're docked. All kinds of stuff is going by, and this a turtle went by. And you could see on that down imaging, and I sent the picture to Connor and I think a couple other people. You could clearly see it was a turtle. It wasn't just a blip. These things are so intricate. Like these fish finders now, you can tell what species of fish there are by the shape of it on the picture. You can tell a pike, you can tell a carp, you know, by the detail of these down imaging things. And then it's neat, you go over shipwrecks or whatever may be down there, and it shows it all in detail, sunken trees. So obvious, looks like a picture of a tree. It's incredible. I said, where's the fun in it? Where's the sport? Amen? Jesus didn't need a fish finder. He didn't need a GPS and all of the latest gear and things to find the fish. He got out on this boat, the Bible says. They launched out a little bit into the deep, and he began to preach the Word of God. And he began to preach to the people. Peter showed a little bit of faith here. He's learning that there's some reward to serving God and allowing God to take what we have and to use it for His glory. Amen? And you know, God has given each and every one of us something to use for His honor and glory. You know, maybe He hasn't gifted you to be a preacher, but God has gifted you with something to use for His honor and glory. God has given you something to use for His honor and glory. The question is, are we going to use it for His glory? Are we going to take what God has given to us and get and understand the way that He wants us to go? Peter, at this particular moment, may not have understood why. Why do we have to launch out just a little bit? What's going to take place, Lord? What's going to happen? Well, don't worry about it, Peter. I've got a plan. I'm ordering your steps. You just simply follow, and you will see what God has in store. And so Jesus Christ began to preach, and the reward came in. There's always a reward for serving God. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, we all have something to give God. We all have something to use for God's honor and glory. And when we do, God is going to reward that. God is always going to reward our sacrifice. Peter was willing to give up his boat He was willing to give up his livelihood. He was willing to sacrifice. But when we think about going and doing things God's way, and going God's way, and following God's way for our lives, sometimes there's a cost. There's always a cost. In verse 4 there, the Bible says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." In verse 4, Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep. This is more than just thrusting out a little bit from the land. Just a little bit, he first said. But now he's saying, "Peter, you've seen what I can do. You've seen the work of the Lord. Now I want you to go a little further for me. There's a little more that I want you to do." And the Bible says there that I want you to launch out into the deep, but this time he told them why. He said, "I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let down your nets for a draught. I want you to go out, and I want you to throw your nets for you to catch some fish." You know, I've just, again, paraphrasing here, Jesus, I've just done my job as a fisherman. I've just, from your boat, I've been a fisherman. I've fished for men. I've preached the word of God to those people back in shore. Now it's your turn. I want you to go out into the deep. I want you to step out a little further, step in the way, go forward for the Lord, find where God wants you to be. I want you to get out there, and I want you now to throw your nets over, and I want you to catch some fish. Peter now may have started to pace up and down in the boat and start asking himself, maybe, "Why, Lord, would we be going out here? It's the middle of the day. There's no reason for me to be going out here and doing this. We've toiled all night, and we've taken nothing. Nothing." Peter got a little bit protestant, and then he said, "You know what, Lord, at your command, I'm going to throw them down because you said so." The work of God, and sometimes going in God's way, understanding God's way, it's going to require a little bit of labor. And it's going to require a little bit of work. And it's going to require a little bit of sacrifice. And that's why, in many cases, people, they're not interested in going God's way. They're not interested in following God's plan for their life. Remember the verse here in Proverbs. Remember what it says and what it instructs us to do. Man's goings are of the Lord. And listen, if we are going God's way, it's going to mean some sacrifice. And it's going to mean some work on our behalf, doing something for the Lord. Peter could have been home, and he could have been sleeping. And he could have been preparing for the next night of fishing. He could have been in his mind thinking he could have been doing so many other things, but now he's out. And sometimes we think that doing things God's way and going God's way is a waste of time. Why? We can ask ourselves. Peter, in one of his moments here, maybe of lack of faith, he certainly had obedience. He said, "Well, at thy command, Lord, I will. I'm going to throw my nets out. But I'm not sure if I've got faith in this being a great idea." "Well, you know, Lord, it doesn't make sense that you want us to walk around this city once a day and then blow trumpets. And you know what, Lord? It doesn't make sense. Well, you mean, Lord, you want me to free the children of Israel from the Egyptians? You want me to be the deliverer, that promised deliverer? Lord, you want me to do that, but you've brought me out to the shepherd's field, and I'm banned from, cast out of Egypt. How is this working, Lord? There's something wrong. I'm supposed to be a deliverer in Egypt. I tried to do something. I killed someone and tried to do whatever I'm supposed to do. But God, now you've got me out here in the wilderness and got me out in the desert. And I'm tending my father-in-law's sheep. It doesn't make sense, Lord. All right, God, you want me to win this battle. I've got 30,000 men, God. You want me to win the battle, and you've whittled it down to just a few hundred men, and now you've not only whittled it down to just a few hundred men, but you want us to go to battle with what? Pitchers? And lamps? And trumpets? God, you want me to do what? You want me to serve you, or you want me to do this? It doesn't make sense, Lord. I don't understand it. Every one of us has something to do for the Lord. And every one of us, you know, we could sit there in our minds and think, you know, it's going to fail. It's going to flop. It just seems strange. It just seems out of place. But God says, you know what? My ways are better than your ways. Just understand that I'm ordering your steps. And I'm bringing you in a way of joyful service in God. Take what you've got, whether it's a net, or whether it's a boat, or whether it's a pitcher, or whether it's a lamp, or whether it's a shepherd's staff, whatever God has given to you, use it for the glory of God in the way that He wants you to use it. Too many Christians want to stay in the shallow water. Too many Christians want to stay close to shore where it's nice and safe, and they don't want to launch out into the deep. You know, when I think about that, there was a hole that I used to like fishing down in Goderich, and it was called the graveyard hole because the entrance to it was right beside a graveyard, so everybody started calling it the graveyard hole. Well, I had fished this hole many times over the years, and I had gotten to know where the fish are in the hole. No fish finder, but just from experience, I knew where the fish were in this particular hole. And it was probably about 12 feet deep, which was pretty deep for that river. And over the years of fishing in that particular hole, I would say that 95% of the people fished in the wrong place. Now, it's a very, if you've ever been in that part of the Maitland River, I don't know if you ever have, it's very beautiful. There's cliffs and rocky waters and rapids. It's just a beautiful area. And right at this particular hole, it's actually a waterfall. The big river comes down and it drops, depending on the water level. It's about a 5-foot waterfall. The whole river is just a big, it just drops right off. And then it flows into a big, slow, deep pool. And then it, like most holes, what we call holes in the river, it tapers off into some rapids. Now that end of it, where it tapers off into the rapids, that's called the tail out of a hole. But when you go down to that spot, you know, the first thing you do, now, and I'm going to tell you the truth, I was like everyone else. You want to go right to the bottom of the waterfall, because it's so beautiful there. And it looks, you think, man, if I was a fish, that's where I'd be right there. And 90% of everyone that came down and fished that hole would go right to the bottom of the waterfall. And you know how many fish over the years I've seen caught at the bottom of the waterfall? None. I've never seen anyone catch a fish there. Now, I'll admit, when I first went down there, that's where I want to fish. But fortunately, I was with a guy who knew the hole, and he said, no, you don't want to fish there. Come down with me. So we went down to the tail out, right down at the bottom of the slow water. And over the years, just getting to know that hole, that's where all the fish would sit. So we'd be down there fishing that section of the hole. We'd be catching all these fish and be watching these guys all thinking they're in the right spot, fishing in a spot where there's no fish. They don't sit there. The water's too turbulent. There's conflicting currents and all kinds of stuff. And so it looks nice. It looks nice. But you'll never reap any fruit from it. And you know, in our Christian life, in our Christian service, there are many things that look good to us and look in our minds like this is the way it should be done. This is the way that I should go. This is the way God is leading me and God is directing me. Because it looks right. It looks like the right thing to do. So Peter is commanded by the Lord to go out into the deep. And he's thinking, Lord, this is the wrong thing to do. It's the middle of the day. And every fisherman knows that fish, it just doesn't happen in the middle of the day. You got to go at night. You got to go early, early in the morning or late, late at night. This just doesn't look right. It's not the way to do it. But he says, nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to throw my nets over. And we know the rest of the story. Amen? They filled the boats. They filled other boats. Everybody was amazed. Everyone was astounded. It was incredible. You know, that whole time, Peter learned what it meant in Proverbs to understand. How can a man understand his way? God, how can I understand this? I don't understand it. It shouldn't happen. We shouldn't have caught all these fish in the middle of the day. And how did we fish in this same spot, this same hole, using the same nets all night long when it's supposed to happen? We got absolutely nothing. Well, because it was done man's way. And it wasn't God's way. And it wasn't Peter's way. God had a way for Peter to go. And he turns around and he says to Peter, from here on in, from this day forward, you're going to become a fisherman. You're going to become a fisherman. You know that preaching I did back there at shore? That's what you're going to be doing. And this is, you do it my way, you do it my way, and this is what you're going to reap. If you understand my way, you understand the way that I have for you. You see, the life that's lived in obedience and faith, you can have obedience without faith, and you can have faith without obedience. You got to have obedience and faith. The life that's lived in obedience and faith will be a fruit-producing Christian life. There's going to be some labor, and there's going to be some toil, and there's going to be some heartaches, and there's going to be some problems. And the Bible says there that Peter forsook all. Left the nets, left the boats, went off, and followed the Lord. How can a man know his way? Listen, God wants to have his way in our life. And God has a way that he wants each one of us to go. And God has given every one of us something. You know what? You can use something. What has God given you? You're saying, I don't have much. God given you a car? Then use that car for God's honor and glory. Has God given you a voice? And use that car for God's for God's honor and glory. You know, everything can be a ministry. Amen? Everything can be a ministry. God has a way. Just give it over to the Lord and allow him to bring you in that way. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you once again that you've given us this opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, again, this wonderful illustration that you've given us of fishing. The wonderful illustration about how if we follow your way, we will be fruitful. And God, each one of us has been called to service. And you have a way for each one of us to go. And Lord, we want to understand. We want to understand what you have for us. And may we, like Peter, learn. And may we understand. And I also pray, God, if there's somebody here this morning without Jesus Christ, if there's somebody here this morning that's never put their faith and trust in you, I pray that they might make that decision today. I pray for the young people downstairs. I pray, God, that they too would understand the way of eternal life. Lord, we're just grateful for the blessing of eternal life. We thank you that you've given us a home in heaven. We thank you that you're a merciful God. But now as your children, may we learn and understand what you have for each one of us. And we'll praise you. And we'll give you the honor and glory. And we'll thank you for all that you've done. Help us to know the way. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. Again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but if God has spoken to you about maybe just getting launching out into the deep, taking that extra step for the Lord, the altar's open. If you need to be saved, you come. And we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Let's sing together.